thankful that she comes and gives talks at this center. And her topic today is thankfulness for our lives. Please give a lovely warm welcome to her.
Thank you, one and all. I have a microphone at home, but I didn't know. But it gives me a lot of freedom to move around, which is really good. So, you know, when I submit titles for my talks, very often it's quite a while before I get to speak on them. And then I got thinking, oh, what am I going to say around that topic that I haven't said or repeated over and over and over again? And as I have a tendency of putting things back in my mind and letting them germinate, I kind of wait to see what bubbles forth and what comes up. And more I began to think about how there's a lot of misinformation out there about how the soul joins in with the body. And according to me, now remember, this is all according to me. My students call it the gospel according to Norma. You're going to get the gospel according to Norma's version today. Just before I forget, actually, one of the things is a couple of things. On the back I've put, just because I get caught up, I brought two of my books. This one is Connecting to the Light, which talks about how we come into this life and how we create within ourselves and how we can transform. And I also have a thank you prayer that's a basic I've written up in two of the books. The other one is in the back there that you're welcome to just take a copy of, because people have found they've transformed their lives. I want to make sure I mention that, because sometimes I get carried away and forget things like that. How many people here really truly believe that they choose or have chosen their parents? Their parents. They chose their parents. Most of you, right? By the way, that is not accurate. 100%. It is not accurate. How do I know? It's because I have taken so many people to what I call preconception point to look at their conception and ask them specifically, what is the reason that you're coming here? What is the connection to your parents? And very often, it's some of these generalized ideas that we have out there. Yes, very often, many of us chose their parents. I did. I chose my parents for specific reasons. My mother, because she was joyous. My father, because I knew him and had stuff around him. We had been in many lifetimes together, especially in Egypt, where also my elder sister, who I still have a little bit of stuff around. She's 85 now, so I better resolve that real quick. is that we were all together in a lifetime in Egypt. And so there was some unresolved issues there. And fortunately for me, after my father died, because he was, around 41 or 2 or somewhere in there when I was born, after he died, I kind of did all my therapy with him because at least I could talk to him, right? But that one of the things that we found is I actually am one of the majority who did actually choose the parent. But what happens if you didn't choose them? What happens if you just showed up? The thing is today, and don't worry, I'll come back and tell you all the other things I found out. But today, you are still you having to deal with the issues that you have created. And if we know how we create those issues, if we know what they're about, very often, we can actually take care of them. Because we cannot blame our parents. We cannot blame society. We cannot blame whatever because I was so-and-so in a past life somewhere for what is happening now. In fact, when I was talking about earlier about being triggered, reminding me about being responsible. One of the hardest journeys I personally had to do is assume personal responsibility 100% of the time. Man, I don't want to do that. Do I really have to be responsible for everything? For myself, yes. How I respond, how I show up, what I'm doing. And sometimes we forget to even be grateful for that maturity, which thank goodness the way here is supposed to speak about, is that we have created and done as the time goes by so that we can at least come and show up as a mature adult. Because it wasn't always that way for me. It wasn't always that way that I assumed responsibility. And it's not that many years ago that I was really being a very, very big victim, blaming everybody and everything, forgetting that that was a reflection of myself. What was going on, and that I needed to assume responsibility for who and what I was. So let's go back to the preconception and the conceptions. We all know, because we're here, that an event occurred called conception. Now, one of the elements I love about my work at times is I get to redo conceptions. From a distance, of course. Where we take the sperm and we take the egg and find out if there's 100% love in each one. And do you know how often I find they're not? But remember, clients who come to see me, of course, have complications in their lives, right? Otherwise, they don't come and see me. Thank God we have complications. Okay, there's another thank you for you. The first time I did this was for a friend, actually, was having difficulty, and I was in Calgary. Probably late 80s. I already had some situations where I was able to take back Pearson back in their memory banks. And we were at conception, and something wasn't quite right. So, thank goodness I'm given instructions of how to do things. This is how I find things. So anyway, this was my first reconstruction of a conception. Not all conceptions occur where there's 100% love of the father in the sperm and 100% love in the egg of the mother. And very often, that's right where the problem begins in the physical. When the soul comes in, we'll talk about soul in a minute, is because we're not coming in from that point of 100% love from either side.
Yeah.
Those of us who've been married know that we're not always actually making a conception of a baby in those environments where there's all this wonderful lovingness going on. Sometimes, which has been really interesting for me, when I have, let's just to say an egg, go back inside the mother to fill up with self-love, there is none. Well, very little. Can't find it. Very rare, but it can't find it. So what do you do then? You bring in universal love. So sometimes people are being raised with a mother that absolutely had no self-love. Usually when we take the egg back into the mother, fill it up with self-love and bring it back down, the egg is filled with that love from the mother, obviously for herself. Same thing can happen with the father. Go back, and I've often heard my clients say, oh, there's only a little bit. I said, we only need a little bit. Love expands. All we have to have is a drop. And then we can fill up that sperm. So then we can remake that beginning of this body that you are inhabiting based now on a lovingness. So that base is filled with love. Isn't that a miracle? I see some skeptical looks. I do it. It's what happens. It works. People transform in front of me. Well, afterwards, they go transform their lives because their baseline is shifted. Remember, it's based on the physics that all time is one. So if you go back in time, you can transform the energy. There's so many movies that have been made about this. There's been so many things that have been created about this. You change something back here, there, and this will change. Now, so the body now is taken care of at that point of conception. Now, there's another thing. I'm just getting... Goodness knows where I was going to go with this, but years and years ago, I was showing all these lights, like little miniature A-bombs going off. You know how when A-bombs go off, there's a bright light? There's like a bright light, and we won't forget, not so much the mushroom, but the light that goes on. And I was looking at this sea of lights going on all over the place, and I remember at the time sort of saying, what is this? And they said, conceptions. At that moment of conception, when the two come together, everything that is possible for that body to create is visible and known. So think about that. When you were conceived at that moment, because I always love to talk about the fight that goes on, right? Right away there's a fight between who's going to dominate what, when, and where. My brother actually was just telling me, he shaved off a mustache. And the first time for years and years and years. And of course, I was just down there earlier this year. This is in New Zealand. And everybody said, oh my God, you look like Norma. I'm growing my mustache back, he says. I never thought we were that alike. But it was like, whoa, because he changed something. So, but it's like, what in that moment is like hereditary, you know, it's like, I have two children look very different. You would not know they were brother and sister if you saw them on the street, like just two people. One takes after her father in looks, one takes after myself. You would know he was my son. But so it's like, you never know that genetic line. I always think it's fun. I always have loved genetics since I was little. But So the whole sense is set up there of your potential, your possibility. And I'm going to come back to tell you a story about that in a minute. So what about the soul? One of the elements I have found is what I call preconception. Because you have your conception point here. Then you have this point of the soul out here, what we call preconception. In the preconception is where you get there's the light, there's the visibility of what is possible. I have found the single most phenomenal transformation point for the soul is in that preconceptional space. Because another misnomer or a misconception is that what we tend to do is we're on the wheel of life. Now, in the Christians, which religion, which most of us are raised at, we die, we go to heaven. And we always think, oh, this is a great, wonderful place. But you know, what I discovered, and people who have taken the past life regression work, I always talk about this, is what do we bring with us from lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime and on for ever and ever and ever, is our guilt, our regret, and our strong emotion. We carry it. So we are only going to progress to the level of where the soul is clear. And often that means repeating lifetime after lifetime without really too much in between lifetime time. So there is some thought forms out there that, oh well, no matter what, we do call it initiation at death actually, where we can let go of everything and forgive ourselves for everything and move forward. But the majority of us don't do that. We're kind of on a trying to work things out. Excuse me, sometimes not as super effectively as we would like. So you're at that preconceptional point is a great time for connecting with what I call source energy. And I utilize that source energy for the transformation work that I do to bring that in to clear out that which is stopping that connection of knowing that everything is at one, that everything is there. So at that preconceptional point, you will make a decision about whether you're going to go into this body or not. Now, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. One is the big thought about, and I'm going to just raise the thing, abortion. Does the soul come in at conception? Does it come in at birth? Does it come in 3 days before, 3 days after? It has been my experience that you will connect with the body at conception, but not always. Not always. I've had people come in things like, what, because most of them come because they have a condition in their life they don't have trouble dealing with. So why are you here in this body? I've had one person say that, well, probably more than one, but I'll just say one person said, well, it was just there and it was my turn. No, it was just there and it was my turn. In other words, a body was being born that had no soul attachment. This person, when we examined a lot more of what was going on, belonged to a group of beings who were coming down here, and here was a body. Nobody had taken it, and it was a body that was going to be adopted out, which often creates all sorts of stuff around for people. But the interesting comment was, it was my turn. And that's another whole subject I'll get into one time maybe today, we'll see where it goes, but it's like why we come here and how we come here and things. So that person came into this body. Well, once you're into the body, stuff happens. And so now we're into also the genetic element of what's going on in the body, so the radiance of the self often is forgotten. So here's one point, it was there and it was my turn. That was at birth. So that lady carried that body, was kicking and going and on and doing all those things that they do in utero with no soul attached. So it is not true that everybody connects right at conception. I tend to find that there is a definite connection. One of the stories I always loved years ago, a friend of mine in the 1950s was a single mother. Now, for those of us old enough to remember, in the 50s it was not an in thing to be a single mother in the 1950s. Today, no one even blinks an eye, but then, ooh. Anyway, very, very interesting woman, very interesting in many, many ways. And when her son was 8 years old, walked up to her and said, you know, I had to fight to be your son. There was a long lineup. But I fought my way through and I got to be your son. Of course, he never remembered saying that after. But for her, that was interesting. And I thought to myself, yes, who would not want to be born to this mother who was a very intelligent, she was a Liberian teacher, she was intelligent, she was caring, she was bright, and she had this little boy by herself. I have no idea whoever the father was, and it's never been spoken of. But it was like, yes, that was somebody who wanted that mother. Now, I have another story where actually a gal that studied with me. And when we were doing some work in class around the birthing process and all that bits and pieces that were going on, she didn't want to be here. So I said, as I've often said, well, why didn't you check out then if you didn't want to be here? And she surprisingly said to me, I wanted to, but a being came and told me I had to stay. Oh, says me. So I said, well, do you feel resentment about that? No, she said, because it was a loving being and I needed to stay. So here was somebody who did not want to be in the environment that she was in, but wanted to check out of this. I don't want to be here. Large family, French-Canadian, actually. You know, they had large families and on the farm, hard work. She kind of, what am I doing? I don't want to be here. So where does she live today? On the island. Yeah. In a very nice, peaceful place. But it was like knowing that this being came and said, no, no, you stay. And you'll be surprised how many times I found that when people, because to me it was like, oh, if you don't like it, why aren't you checking out? Especially when you're first here. And very often they'll say, no, somebody came. A being came and said, no, you stay. And how many times have we heard that from people who have had near-death experiences? They want to stay in that peace and love and joy. No, you're not done yet. You go back. Never, ever. I won't say never ever, because I believe I have heard of one. Most people do not resent that at all, because there is so much love. The ingredient of love. For a long time, I was doing a lot of work in what we call inner child transformation work. And I had this very beautiful 30-odd-year-old. Usually around 30 is when people begin to think it's time to do some in a work of some kind, of kind of wanting to get more in that. This very beautiful looking girl. She comes in and describes her life to me. And it was a horror show. Absolute horror show. Nothing was really good about it at all. But she looked beautiful. You would never have known to see this woman on the street what she had endured as a child. So when we got to the place to find out, now why are you coming into this life? She said, because it has a beautiful body, and I want a beautiful body. Now, you see, we can't judge why a person is in a body, or why they chose that environment, or why they're there in that environment, because we do not know what the soul is wanting to create. She went through hell to have this beautiful body. Another one I found very interesting was a young girl that came again. And she wanted to, it was all about separation and loss, if I remember rightly. I think I've written it about in this book, actually, Connecting to the Light. And what had happened, we often, you've heard how we work in the souls with groups, right? We go with groups and we figure out different groups how they work. And her brother had come before. Now, she did not look at any circumstances at all about this conception, about what she was getting into. All she knew was her beloved brother was before her, like an older brother, right? She jumped into the body, came to the body, horrendous circumstances. The family got split up very early, I think by the time she was 2, and she got separated from his brother that she'd followed. People, as souls, do not look very often at consequences of what they're getting. It's like people who damage themselves when they jump into a river or a lake and don't realize there's rocks underneath. They didn't look. So as a therapist, as a person who's there to help and guide, now I have quite a different way of doing things, but then it would be like, well, what's done is done. You're here. So let's just forgive ourselves. Let's get the light in here. Let's give all this up to the light. clear all this out of the system and begin to think about where you're going to go from here. So in a sense, the last one chose, they did choose their parents, but not because of a relationship to the parents. They chose the body that was available. And that's what I often find. Also that we are not always there at conception. That I have run into several times. One of my tarot books, when I first ran into this, was, because you must remember I got a lot of years of doing different things that led to one other thing. I used to, in my life readings for people, would tune into they used to lay out the higher arcana, which is the learning element, and I would tune into the life before, what sort of just get a sense of what they were coming in with. And in this one, there was nothing, blank. And I went, oh, this is weird. So I'm trying to figure out, like, I've always got something, you know, to sort of hang my hat on to bring in. So I jumped to the next symbol. When I jumped to the next symbol, what I heard was water rushing down, and it was a person. Now, have I got two stories? I might have two stories mixed up here. Sorry about this. Anyway, this one was, there was water rushing down, and they were in a submarine in off England, somewhere in the channel there, and it was going down. Horrible way to die, by the way. I don't want to envision that again. It was not pleasant. When they came out of that, now I think I have the one story. I might have two mixed up. But there was a little girl playing who was unhappy, and this person said, oh, and came in and took over the body at the three-year-old. Now that, Ruth Montgomery wrote about that, first of all, in a book way back when, called them Walk-ins. When we do a soul transference, when one soul is really miserable and another one will come in, whether the higher element of them will come in and take over, or another actual entity exchange. And I've had several experiences with that with clients over the years. But it's like to know that everything is not an absolute. So when you hear, you have picked your parents, or you have whatever, no, that may not be the reason. It may be that you might have picked them by default. That's what I always say. Well, you picked them by default because you didn't look. You know, don't excuse yourself. But why would I pick these parents? Unless you go and take a look, you don't know. But often you really didn't pick them, particularly for them. It could have been another circumstance. A nice body, someone's come ahead, they're available. I've heard that one before. Oh, it was just there. I actually have heard that several times. Well, it was the body there, so I thought I'd take it. So very, like, how much thought, how much progression goes in. But you know, once the person begins to be aware that the basis is really all about being loved and loving, then we can move forward and go forward.
That's right.
By clearing our lives. Nothing is ever an absolute that we're done for. And that's the miracle, and that's what we're always so grateful for. So in the sense of our thankfulness of our lives, you're here and you are alive and you're breathing in a planet that has its issues. And right now I find there's so much out there about fear, because we are in a transformational time again. And this, yeah, seems to be pretty, but we should be rejoicing that and thankful that we can contribute to that through our thinking and our beingness, that we can open ourselves up to the potential of life and enjoy it all fully. Because it's all part of our growth patterning. It's all part of the design so that we can become truly of who we are. So this, as Laura said, this host, I call it. You know, years, I have to smile because years ago people were talking about treat your body like a temple. I think I've done too many Buddhist lives, actually, to be honest. It never ever struck me that I wanted to treat my body as a temple. It was like, oh, gosh, no. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. And then one day I had a lady in for a reading, and all of a sudden I got it. I said, oh, and because I'm a bit of a science fiction buff anyway, I said, oh, think of your body as your host. It's hosting you. And my whole approach to my body shifted at that time, because I travel a lot, I stay with people, and I'm always very much aware of leaving the bathroom as I found it, or the bedroom as I found it, and if I'm in the living room, because I'm a bit messy at home. But when I'm away, I'm very clean and clear and everything. And so I thought, yeah, well, this body is hosting the essence of me. I need to respect that and be thankful for that and grateful for that, instead of
ticked off because I've got the genetics of my mum's side, which kind of tend to run to fat and sore knees and bad knees and all that stuff. So I'm really working to change all that and add it all into the part of my host, right, of being. What I thought I would do today is lead you through a visualization so that you can see your conception and see what decision you made and the reason that you made it. Does that sound something you'd like to do? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, sit quiet. Okay, what I want you to do is just take a nice deep breath. Make yourself as comfortable as possible. Close your eyes, because it's easier to visualize when your eyes are closed. I just want you to take another deep breath, because I'm going to have a sip of water. I want you to imagine a beautiful midnight blue sky. One of those magical summer nights where the sky becomes like a midnight blue. It's warm, and you just feel comfortable. And as you look at the stars that begin to come out on that midnight blue sky, I want you to think of this life that you're in now. And as though you leave your physical body behind, I want you to allow yourself to think of that star that represents this life. And if you can't find one that's calling you, pick one, knowing that it's this life. And then I want you to allow the etheric form of you to fly through space and time to come close to that light which is your conception. Some of you will come close and you might see a little more than you'd like to see. But get the feeling of the conception of you, your body. The potential, the possibilities. And as you're looking at that conception, aware of all the possibilities that you possibly can have, ask yourself, do I have any connection with my mother or father? Is there any connection here? And if there is, what is it? What is it I need to understand from them? Do I need to bring a little more love into that conception? Because you can bring universal love, which is always available. And if you do need to bring a little more love into the conception, just as we can just imagine that light of love, however you want to imagine that, just filling up that space where your body is being created. You can ask yourself also as you're here, what am I coming into this life for? What is the purpose of this life? And be open to the answer. Know also that if it is something that sort of says to make good or to help or to be, that how are you going to do that? Because you may need to bring light into you and let go your guilt and your regret so that you free yourself up as a soul to integrate into the beingness of who you can be. Forgiveness in this place is incredibly important. Forgiveness in the body and the soul. I want it to vibrate that love 100%. The anticipation of the adventure of this life that you're going to undertake. The appreciation of what is to come, and the majesty of who you can be, to allow that in. And then I want you to just feel that soul of yours just coming into that conceptual point to integrate
knowing that you're bringing three loves together, the love of the Father, the Mother, and yourself. And that love always expands, because in each one of you, there is the one power and the one essence. And then what I want you to do is just disengage from that. Disengage and just become aware of what was and where you are today in the here and now. Just becoming aware of your body breathing here. And allow that love to come back into the cells. As you put your feet in your feet and your hands in your hands and your eyes in your eyes. As you begin to feel that essence of you come into the awareness. I am. I am that. I am. I am all there is. For I radiate the spirit of life easily. And I choose to be here in this body right now because you have, because you're here. I choose to open myself up to my greater good because it's possible. I choose for me to be at one. And as I choose to be at one, I am thankful for it all. I am thankful. And feel that gratitude that moves into that body of yours, because your life right now is your creation. Life right now is how you've outpictured, whether you've known it or not. Life right now is all the essence of who you are. So be thankful. So when you're ready, I want you to take a nice deep breath. I want you to open your eyes. I want you to be here.
Yes. So I'm thinking, because I know my one child was conceived in love, but the other one wasn't.
Right.
I'm thinking that I know it's affected her.
Yes.
So I can go in myself and change that egg if she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. Hmm. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
That's why I get to do the wonderful work I do, is because I can get to go in to your vibration and transform so that you can have more and more of a being able to create what it is that you want to create. So just a white sheet at the back. This is my thank you exercise prayer. This is how, it's an exercise. So when you go to bed, you raise your thoughts upward to the universal source energy and say, thank you. Thank you for everything you enjoyed during the day. There has to be one thing you are happy about. Say thank you for that. There may have been many enjoyments, and you say thank you for each one. In the morning when you wake up, raise your thoughts to the universal source energy and say, good morning, I will have a good day. Let good things come to me, let good things go for me. I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. I have seen people doing these two thank you exercises for 6 weeks change their lives because it works. It's by aligning yourself in the element of gratitude by saying thank you. That really works. And as I said, I've got some sheets of that on the back. If you really want to know more about how to transform the energy, this is the book that teaches that. The regular 15, you can have them. There's only a few copies left there, but you can have any of the books, the two lots I bought for $10. I want to thank you very much. Oh, one more announcement, because I'm not doing an announcement. I have a tarot cloud. Class that happening this coming weekend, the beginning of my 6-month intensive again. So we've got a group, feeling nice size group going, but if anybody's interested, please let me know. In the meantime, blessings, thank you. I trust you enjoyed that.